We're here for another year, and we have another two girls from Meadowbrook that are going to graduate. We had two last year, and we have two this year as well, and we've already said this is the M&M show, and that's why we've given out the candy. Last year, we had a pretty good charge that we gave to our graduates, and I hope that even today they remember the words that were said and kind of what they were told and what they were charged to do in their Christian walk as they continued to go out past high school. And my prayer for you two ladies here today is that you'll remember some of the lessons that we talk about today, and not only will you remember them, but that you'll carry them to other people, that you'll use what you have been taught here at Meadowbrook and what you're going to be talked to about today, and you'll carry those out as lessons that you could help friends with and others that you come encounter with. This coming week, we're going to be celebrating our Independence Day as a nation, and we're going to celebrate that in our next Sunday service as we have our Independence Day service. We would normally do that today, but we moved that forward. And I thought it was kind of interesting when I was thinking about that, you know, we're celebrating Independence Day, and I think in a little way these girls are celebrating Independence Day. What do y'all think? You know, a time to get out of the house, a time to move on to college and get away from old mom and get away from old dad, a time to sow their oats, spread their wings, and do what I want to do. Right? Isn't there a little independence that comes with that? You've graduated from high school. You've gone to the next step. And whether you're staying here to go to college or going off, you've kind of moved into that next level. And you've got that thought in the back of your mind. You know what? Now I can do what I want to do. We took Courtney up to college this week for a visit. I know the DeBarlanes were doing orientation yesterday. And we just went for a pre-visit to decide on school. And one of the scariest things for me is that Courtney kept reminding us that she was going to be away from us and that she was going to be able to do what she wanted to do. And so there's some independence that comes with this graduation. There's some independence that you will learn about, that you're going to have to feel your way through. There's some bumps that are going to come in the road that you're going to have to figure out. There's going to be times when you really wish you could call back and say, Mom, Dad, you know, what do I do here? And they're not going to be at an arm's length, but instead they're going to be at a phone call's length. And maybe you can't get a hold of them right when you want to. But my prayer for you is that you will do the things that you want to do. But my prayer is that the things that you want to do will be the things that are pleasing to God. So I hope that you've been taught in that way, that you've been brought up in the way that you will not depart far from God's word, as the Bible tells us. And that when you go out and you're faced with making a decision, that the first place you'll go to is the Bible. That you'll be asked to do something or make a decision, and you'll go back to your roots and go back to your Christian roots and go to the Bible for your answers and then make a decision that's pleasing to God. You know, you've learned a lot of lessons along the way. You've learned lessons from these parents that you're getting away from. And you've had teachers in school that have taught you just all kinds of things since you've began school, maybe in pre-K or kindergarten or even before then. And they've prepared you for the next chapter of life. They've prepared you for the next instruction that you're going to learn in college. But those teachers that you had in school haven't done anything compared to what your parents have done in teaching you. So they've been teaching you since the time you were born. And when you were out there spreading your wings, remember the lessons that they taught you. Remember the things that they tell you all the time that you shake your head and go, I sure wish I didn't have to hear that again. Remember those things because they're the ones that have been teaching you the longest. They've teaching you lessons about being a good citizen, and they teach you about telling the truth. They teach you about wearing clean underwear in case you get in an accident, which is really important that you'll always need to know. I've never understood that lesson, but remember the things that they've taught you about the Bible. Remember the things that they've taught you about your faith. Remember the things that they've taught you about following Christ. And then make decisions that would make your mom and your dad proud. Make decisions that will make your family proud. And make decisions, most importantly, that will make God proud of you. See, up until now, you've kind of been living on the faith of your parents. You know, you've made decisions, both of you, for Christ. You both accepted him as your Lord and Savior, which is a great thing in your life. It promised you eternity in heaven. But you've gone upon the faith of your parents. They brought you to church, right? And they said, hey, this is where we're going to go. And they brought you the faith of saying, hey, you're going to get up this morning and you're going to go to church. And they did these things and made those decisions for you, and they weren't decisions of your own. But now all of a sudden, when you move in that next chapter of life, you're going to have to start making those decisions for yourself. You're going to have to get up on Sunday and say, it's time to go to church. You're going to have to go to bed and say, it's time to say my prayers. You're going to have to put your head down before a meal and say, it's time to say the blessing. You're going to have to establish your own faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and not just piggyback upon those that your parents have taught you and the things that they make you do. So it's going to be a time of learning. It's going to be a time of getting close to Christ. And the more time that you spend trying to get close to Christ, the better relationship with Him you'll have. Now, I know that graduation is an exciting time, so we don't want to bring that down. It's a time that you look forward to for many years. I mean, how many times in your life have you said, I just can't wait to graduate? I can't wait to get out of this place. I can't wait to get out of this school. I'll be so glad when I don't have to see this teacher anymore or deal with this situation. You fill in the blanks. You know what they are. And everybody's been either in school now or they've already graduated from school. And everybody remembers those things they wanted to get away from. But now with your newfound independence comes responsibility. Now's the time that you start another chapter in the book of life. You see, it's like volumes in this book series that we have, and you've all of a sudden closed off one. You went through the time of being a child, and then you went through the chapter of being in elementary school. Then you had the chapter of being in middle school or junior high, whatever you called it. And then you went through the chapter of being in high school. And now it's time to open up the book and write the next chapter that's to come in your life. The great thing is the next chapter is unwritten. It's blank pages. And there's nothing on it. There's nothing that anybody preconceives of you. There's nothing that anybody expects to be on those pages except for the life that you build for yourself. And so you're in control of writing that page and writing that next chapter and being who you want to be. So I ask you the question this morning, ladies. I ask you, what do you want your next chapter to look like? Now, maybe you're here today and you're not graduating, you're not going off to college, you're not doing those things, but you're at a place in your life that today you're maybe going to start a new chapter. And what do you want your new chapter to look like? What do you want to be written on the pages of the next chapter? Will it be a tragedy? Will it be a comedy? Will your life be a love story? Will your life be a success story? Will your life be a Christian instruction book on how to live? What will you spend time writing in the next chapter of your life? Well, there are things that you have no choice in, things that will just be written, things that you don't get to pen, but just kind of happen. I mean, let's look at the past chapters, and I quoted some of these stats last year in our service, but let's look at the past chapters you've been through. These are some amazing stats. You've already spent 2,160 days in school. That's a long time. You spent 12,960 hours in classes, which equals 777,600 minutes of schooling. And that's if you didn't skip class. Now, y'all have to talk about that and figure out when you were there, when you weren't. I didn't have that many minutes when I was in school. You've lived approximately 18 years, which means you've been alive for 216 months, which equates to 936 weeks, or 6,552 days. You've been alive 157,248 hours, and of those hours, you've probably slept 52,500 hours. And many of y'all think maybe they've already slept more than that, you know, to this point. You've watched 12,172 hours of television, and you've spent 7,488 hours eating. And that was probably mostly in front of the television while you were eating the things that you eat. But those are things that have already been written. Those are in the past chapters. Those are in the chapters that we've already closed the book on. But there are things that you didn't have a choice in. And there are things that are coming up that will most likely be included in the next chapter. And if you live to be 70 years old, or as the Bible says, 70, then these are some things that will automatically be written into your book. You will have slept about 24 years of your 70 years of life. You will have worked 14 years. You will have played 8 years, and you would have eaten for 6 years. You would have driven a car for 5 years, and you'd have talked for 4 years. Now, since you're girls, you might beat that. You might talk for a little more than 4 years, maybe 5 or 6. At the end of 70 years, you're going to be a little bit wrinkled. You're going to miss some teeth. Some of your hair might be falling out or maybe turning gray. And there's nothing that we can do about all of those things. So these things are going to happen. But the important stuff in life is what you make happen. It's the little places in between what's going to happen that we contribute to. Now today's scripture, it comes from the book of Mark. It's in chapter 10, verse 13 through 16. And some of y'all are going, Pastor Michael, you've never only preached on three verses in the whole entire time we've been in here. But I know that after 12 years of school, your attention span's kind of fried. So I'm going to keep this down to four verses for you today. I think there's a lesson in this little chapter here, this little four verses for each person in here. And even though these verses refer to children, which hopefully will remind you that even though you're 18, and I'm sure your parents have told you this, you are not grown yet. So let's read together in Mark chapter 10, 13 through 16. It says, "And they were bringing children to him," talking about Jesus, "so that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, 'No, permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it at all.' And he took them in his arms and he began blessing them, laying his hands upon them." And you could take the word children here and put in the word graduates. You could take that and put in here young people. You could put in here young ladies. You could put anything that you wanted to get the message today. But here it talks about children, and I think we still fall into that category. We're all children of God. So in these verses, we find some things that will help you prepare for y'all's future. We find some lessons. You see, you're not entering the next chapter in your life like everybody else does, because both of you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. So you're not entering in the way maybe some of your friends are, but you're entering the next chapter as Christian young ladies. Ladies who've been taught to follow God and to walk in His will. And so your life is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be judged different. It's going to be looked at different than maybe some other folks that you're going to school with. Now I want us to look at these verses one at a time, and I want us to learn just a couple of lessons from it. And if you could take these points down, these four little lessons that we'll have this morning, I want you to really think about these as you go through this next chapter. Verse 13 says, "And they were bringing children to him." These are the people, the crowd, are bringing these kids to him so that Jesus might touch them. And the disciples, they rebuked these people. And so the lesson here, our first lesson for today, is I want you to learn that as you go on to college, that people are going to try to prevent you from getting to God. People in life are going to try to get you, to prevent you from getting to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, these were disciples who kept the children from coming to Christ. Of all people, disciples, other Christians, people who walk with God, who were trying to keep these children from being there. And I'm sure they thought that Jesus was too busy to be disturbed by children. Maybe he didn't have time to deal with them. It probably wasn't in a mean way that they were doing this. But they themselves were hampering people from coming to Christ. Now here the Bible uses the word rebuked, and it's a very strong word. They didn't just say, "Hey guys, Jesus is busy right now. Can you come back at a better time, maybe when there's less people?" But instead it says they rebuked him. It's like they said, "How dare you even come to Jesus Christ? How dare you bring those little kids here? He doesn't have time to deal with that thing." People with good intentions that you come across in life will try to keep you from walking closer to God. Here it's the disciples. And all too often, we people who consider ourselves Christians prevent other people from growing closer to God. We don't intend to, but our actions keep them away. Our language keeps them away. Our behavior keeps others from feeling welcomed or free to come to Christ. We need to make sure that in our actions that we make people feel welcome to come to Christ. And at the same time, look out for those who are keeping us from being close to them. People have a tendency to want you to stay at the same operating level that they're on. You always hear about keeping up with the Joneses. Nobody wants anybody to get a step ahead. And so you're going to encounter people in school who want you to be on the same level. They want you to get the same grade that they're getting. If they're not doing well, they don't want you to do well either. And you're going to come across those people. You've heard that old saying that says, "Misery loves company." Well, here is where it fits. Non-Christians feel very uncomfortable around you sometimes. When you start living like Jesus, it makes them evaluate their lives. And so they're going to do things that are going to test your faith. It may even cause you to backslide. And we talked about backsliding this morning in Sunday school, a time when you're close to the Lord, but you do something that causes you to be further away from Him. And the Bible says God can't be where sin is also. And so when we sin, we backslide, and we push ourselves further away, and there are going to be people who are going to cause you to backslide while you're in college. Friends who say things like, oh, just come on to this party and drink with me. Oh, just come on and do that. Or, hey, let's go ahead and break these rules. We don't need to follow those. Or, hey, there's no reason for you to get up on Sunday. You know, we studied late, and you don't really need to go to church. Mom and Dad will never know if you went or not. And then there's the boys, which is a whole other sermon that we'll get into on another time. People who ask you to do things that cause you to backslide from your Christian faith, who keep you away from a relationship that's close with Jesus Christ. Too many times we believe that the things that we're going through are trivial in our life, that they're just small compared to the world's problems, and so we try to keep them to ourselves, but when these problems come up, go to the Lord in prayer. Our problems normally are small, but God loves us so much that He wants to be involved in everything about us. Never ever listen to anybody who tells you that you don't need to take your problem to Jesus. Never listen to anybody who tells you that your problem is too trivial to go to Christ with. Never listen to those people who try to pull you away from a relationship with Jesus. You see, you're already saved. You're already going to heaven. But Satan wants to derail you from having a closeness with Christ, and He'll use people along the way to do that to you. So that first lesson is that people are going to try to prevent you from getting close to God. Verse 14 then says, but when Jesus saw this, He was indignant, and He said to them, Jesus says, permit the children to come to Me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. We find our second lesson there today. The second lesson is that life begins with God. Life does not begin after graduation. Sometimes we look and say, oh, well, now this is where my life begins. But life doesn't begin because we received a diploma and we walked across the stage. Life begins because we have a relationship with God and He's part of our lives. And we believe that once we're outside of our home, that life is all of a sudden going to be this new thing just because of our newfound freedom. And as soon as we're out of the reach of our parents, then all of a sudden, oh, life is new, and it begins. And we can't wait until that moment happens. We wish away all the things of our youth, wanting to be older. And then when we're older, we want to do what? We want to be young again. You know, we need to realize the reason that we want to be young again is because we find out that being older doesn't do anything for us, and being younger doesn't do anything for us, but the only thing that does something for us is our relationship with God. That's where life starts. We're waiting for those moments when we're young where we can make decisions for ourselves, and when we get old, we're looking back and wishing somebody would make some decisions for us. You want to be on your own, Miss Independent. Make your own money and buy your own things and do what you want to do. But that's not really what freedom is. True freedom is the chance to do what's right. True freedom is to know that when you make a decision, you're doing what the Bible tells you you should do. True freedom doesn't make selfish decisions, but true freedom makes decisions based on what God's will is for your life. And God's will is not always going to be easy. God's will is not always going to be the most popular thing to do. God's will is not always going to be what your friends are doing. It's not always fun. Sometimes it seems kind of dull, but God's will is always right, and it's never wrong. It's always right and never wrong. The world that we see today, it wants to sell us their version of life. I mean, we look at commercials on television. I know there's an alcoholic drink out there, and their slogan says that you can drink this and obtain the high life. There's another one that says, oh, if you drink this, you're going to have the good life. And the world wants us to believe that about these products and material objects that they have. They want us to think that the one who dies with the most toys, what? Wins. We see that on t-shirts and bumper stickers and license plates and all those things. But the only problem with this lifestyle is where does it end? when's enough enough, and who has the most. There's always going to be somebody with more than you do. And we live in a day when owning the best can only last until tomorrow. You know, you build a new house, and a year from now, it's a year-old house. You know, look at the technology that y'all face and now that we never had. I mean, I remember when a CD player came out. They're almost obsolete. You know, some of y'all remember reel-to-reel. Y'all remember some of that? I remember playing 8-tracks. You remember 8-tracks? I mean, who hears of those things anymore? Technology today changes so fast that whatever is cutting edge today is a dinosaur tomorrow. You know, you buy this new high-tech television set and say, man, I've got the world. And then 2 weeks later, they bring out one that's nicer and better than yours. And things change so much. And that's the way America is today. And so don't let these secular viewpoints of having the most and living this high life because of something that you do influence your spiritual decisions. All of the parts and the pieces of the good life begin and end with God. I believe that the parents of these children in Scripture here, they knew this. And to some degree, the children knew it as well. And that's why they wanted to come to Jesus, for such is the kingdom of God. You know, Christ is the one that offers an abundant life, not some beverage in a can. Christ is the one that offers an abundant life, not some bank account that your money can't fit in. The Bible says, I came that they might have life. And they might have it abundantly. Don't buy into the world's view of that. Don't buy into the materialism that only lasts for days. Buy into the things that gain you treasure that last forever. Remember, we're penning that next chapter. We're writing it down. And we're going to look at it and read back at how it turns out. Verse 15 says, truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child, how to receive it? Like a child shall not enter at all. And here we find that lesson. The third lesson is that wisdom comes from God and not from grades. Wisdom comes from God and not from your grades. The world wants you to believe in yourself, and that's not such a bad thing as long as you don't go to the extreme with it. You have to have confidence in yourself and know that you can do things, but have confidence in the fact that you can do it because through Christ, I can do all things. Everything is possible. That's the reason that you believe in yourself. But when we discover the truth, the Bible tells us it's not by accident. It says that when we discover the truth, it's truth that's revealed by God. And it doesn't matter where you are in school or where you are in work or where you are in life. It doesn't matter if you're going to college now or if you've been out of college or if you're in the workforce or if you're retired. The truth will always and still comes from God. If we need wisdom, where do you go? The Bible. The same place where we find truth. They're very related anyway. And so they should originate in the same place. They both originate from God and they're both here. So when you're looking for true wisdom and you're looking for true truth, yes, you need to study and make good grades. But you don't need to forget about this book, the most important textbook you'll have with you in college. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And I believe that education is a must for us to function in today's society and to be parts of society here in the United States. But I believe that the desire to learn is also biblical. The Bible even said that Jesus grew. But physically growing is not the only way for us to grow. We need to grow in wisdom and in understanding. We shouldn't base our self-worth on our ability to make grades. We should also realize that God is all-knowing, and His wisdom comes from Himself. So if we need to know something, we can always ask not a professor, not someone that's walking by on the street, but we can ask God Himself. Rely on God to be your ultimate teacher while you're away at college. Rely Him to be on the one that you focus on while you're in college, and rely on Him to be the one that keeps you in place. You know, when we place our hands on somebody, it's a symbol, especially in Bible times, of passing on a heritage to them. And I believe what Jesus is saying here in the Scripture is that I'm going to place my hands on you to empower you with my wisdom from above. Be the type of student in college that allows God to put His hand on you. Allow God to put His hand on you and to guide you to the next step. Allow God to put His hand on you when all of a sudden you're faced with making a decision that's going to impact you for a very long time. Verse 16, It says, and he took them in his arms, and he began blessing them, laying his hands upon them. We see our next and our fourth lesson that I wanted you to have this morning. You can have none of the good life until you come as a child. The fourth lesson is you can have none of the good life until you come as a child. We believe in order for us to obtain the good life, we have to have it all together. You hear your parents say things, or maybe even you say, you know, I wish I was like them. They just seem to have it all together. Maybe in school you looked at somebody else that was there, and you know, their grades were perfect and they seemed to do everything right. And you said, you know, they just seem to have it all together. But the key word in that saying is seem to have it all together. And we envy these people who appear to have it all together, and we put them up on a pedestal. We make them kind of idols in our lives, but the bottom line is there's no human being who has it all together. No human knows everything. And if we knew how to get it together, we would have already thought about it, we'd have already worked it out, and we would be complete right now. If we knew how to get it all together, we would create a formula from it, we would have marketed it, we'd have sold it, and all of us in here would have been millionaires. But you see, there's no formula that we can buy and package and sell. But those who proclaim that they have it all together are usually crazier than those who realize that they don't. As a matter of fact, if you realize you don't have it all together today, then you're closer to being on the right path than the person who thinks that they do. And so it's okay when you go off to school to realize, you know what? I just don't have it all together. You know, things seem to be a little scattered right now. And instead of looking at that person who seems to have it and looking at them and saying, I wish I could be like them, just be more like you. And let you be more like Christ. The answer's simple. There is a good life, and it is out there for us. Jesus said, I came to give them abundant life. However, that doesn't always translate into things that we think about. It doesn't always translate into cars and houses and big toys. But it does translate into something more important. Translate into that relationship with our Heavenly Father. You know, if you experience Jesus, then you experience the good life. Let me say that again. If you experience Jesus, you experience the good life. The first requirement, it says here, is to come like a child. And if you choose not to come as a child, you cannot come. And how would a child come? It says a child would come humbly, laying down their pride. The desire within you that says, I can do all things on my own, lay it down because you can't. But come as a child who's humble, who comes to God and says, look, I just can't do all this on my own. And Lord, I need you to put that hand on me and watch over me. And the Bible says here that he began blessing them. And we want God's blessings for you and in your lives while you're in college and when you go beyond. God's always standing with his hands wide open. He's always ready to receive those of us who choose to come to him. My grandmom had a picture that I remember seeing. And I can't remember if it was on a wall or a prayer card, but it was a picture of Jesus with his arms wide open. And I think about there where Jesus' arms are always wide open. He's always waiting on you. He's always waiting on that little question. He's always waiting on that little prayer. He's always waiting on that relationship to get stronger. And all we have to do, the Bible says, is to seek him. And are we seeking him today? And will you seek him as you go off to school? Will you remember that he's always there for you? And do you believe that? Do you know that you need God's blessings? Because you do. And no matter who you are today, you need God's blessings. You should want God's blessings. And the Bible tells us how to get God's blessings. So at every good graduation, at every good time, they always give you a charge. A charge, something that we put out before you and say, we hope that you do this, we want you to do this, and we hope that you follow this. So this is my charge to you this morning. I want you to visualize, and everybody in here can do this, I want you to visualize that you're in a large, open field. Maybe one that you know, you've seen in pictures of a big wheat field that's just, you know, expansive, and you can't see the ends of it. And you're in this large field, and there are a lot of people that are standing around you. And in this big field, there's a path. And you have to get on the path and you have to stay on it. And you're instructed to do that. Get on the path and stay on the path. And there's other people in this crowd that are telling you different. But when they do, pick up your Bible and show it to them and say, no, this book says that I have to stay on the path. Sometimes the path is going to look difficult. Sometimes it appears to make sense to get off the path, but it really doesn't. Maybe the travel looks easier off the path. The way looks easier. But look to your Bible and remind yourself that this book says to stay on the path. Often you're going to see these vultures who we know as different people in our lives who are sitting on the sidelines. They're hollering things at you, saying, get off the path. Follow me in this direction. Do this or do that, but don't listen to them. Be aware that they are simply vultures. Don't be scared of them. Don't fear them, for they can do nothing to you, because the Bible says that Satan has no more power over us except for the power that we give him. Beware of these people who try to pull you aside, the people who try to blind you to your faith. Because if they can blind you, then they get pleasure out of seeing you stray from the path. Continue to walk by those people. Continue to be on this path in that field. But stay on the path. Because the path is what's going to help you write your next chapter. The path is what's going to lead you to a life that's pleasing to God. The path, no matter where you are in your life right now, is the way that the next chapter of your life will be looked back and read about. So the next chapter in your book, I want to be entitled, The Path. What path will it be? Stay on the path. When you're in school, they give you two types of classes. You go down to the guidance counselor, and they say, we need to pick out so many required classes, and we need to pick out so many elective classes, and we try to balance those out so that we have the course load that we need to graduate. But in the Christian life, there are the same thing. There are elective things and there are required things. Required things, you have no choice in the matter, like life itself. You didn't choose to be born. You didn't choose who your parents were going to be. You didn't choose where you were going to live. Those things just happened, and those were required. You don't choose death. It's just a requirement. You don't choose when you're going to die or how you're going to die. And the most important thing is judgment. The Bible says that all of us will be judged, and this is a required subject of a Christian. These things are going to happen. But now as a Christian, we also have choices. And these are the things that we're going to call electives. And so I also challenge you to work on these electives. Electives are things like being spiritual in your faith. Electives are things like praying to God daily. Electives are things like reading your Bible. Electives are things like attending church. Electives are things like making the right decisions. And it's these electives that will write the next chapter of your book called Staying on the Path. And we, your church here, are excited for you. We're excited to look at the next chapter. We're excited to read it. We're excited to be a part of it. And we're here to help you. We're here to love you. We're here to pick you up when you need to be picked up. We're here to pray for you when you need to be prayed over. We're here to comfort your parents when they have to let you go from the nest. But Meadowbrook is your home church. This is home ground. This is a place that you can always come back to. This is a place that will always love you, and this is a place that will always care for you. This is home. And we're praying that you'll have a great career in college. We're praying that you'll always be here on breaks. Mom and dads are praying that you'll be here often. We'd love to see you all the time. I'm proud of you, and we're blessed that you're part of our congregation this morning. Megan, would you come up and tell us a few words about yourself this morning?
I'm going to Anderson University in the fall. I'm going to be studying kinesiology, and from that degree, I want to go into athletic training. Kinesiology is the study of physical movements, and you can go into multiple different areas like physical therapy, but I'm choosing athletic training instead. Huh? Oh, and I want to thank my parents and my sister. Yeah. Okay. And my grandparents and my aunt and all them.